This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. From about my brothers and sisters, today I want to talk to you about one of the most effective and powerful ways of decision making, which we call consultative decision making, and in Arabic we call it shura, in Urdu we call it mashwara. This is a method which I have introduced in many of my corporate consulting clients over the last, now I think 40 something years of my consulting practice, at the corporate board level and at lower levels of team leadership across the world. I'm not talking about introducing this into companies which are Muslim owned and managed. I'm talking about introducing this into all kinds of companies with uniformly brilliant results, absolutely 100% successful results. And this is not my doing, because this method is not my invention. So I don't have any copyright on this. Please feel free to use it. Please feel free to share it as widely as possible. This method, very interestingly, is something which can and should be used most fundamentally and basically at the level of the family. Quite literally, it is a method that you can use, for example, to decide whether to order pizza for dinner today, or whether to go out to a restaurant to eat. You can use it for decisions of where to spend money and the prioritization of things at the level of your family business and family finances. You can use it, of course, as I mentioned, in the corporate world, in businesses and so on and so forth, in boards and so forth. It is very, very useful. I think one of the most highly effective places to use it is in voluntary organizations. It is in organizations which are, all kinds of charitable organizations, masjid boards, you name it. I mean, there is quite literally no place where decisions need to be made where the consultative decision-making methodology doesn't work. There is no such place. Now, therefore, as I said, I'm sharing this with you. Please feel free. There are many of you who will watch this video and you will remember the seminars that I have done in the organizations that you work in or you used to work in, where I have taught this method. And all power to you. I'm sure all of you, if we can find you, will vouch for the effectiveness of this method. And as I said, this is not my method. I take no credit for it except for teaching it. The method is called consultative decision making, or shura. Now, what is shura? Let me first tell you what it is not. Shura is not deciding by taking a vote. So please understand this very clearly. Shura, even though it resembles that in some ways, but it is not a head count. It is not simply to say, here is an idea, how many are for it, how many are against it, there are 9 for it, there is 1 against it, so we go with the 9. There are 8 for it, and there are 7 against it, so we go with the 8, right? So whether you have a 1:9 majority, or you have a 1 majority, or 7:8, meaning a majority of 1, you go with the majority decision. It is not this. Now, what actually happens, the quality of decision making by voting. I don't think anybody, anybody with half a brain can understand that that is about the worst thing that that human beings invented, which is to decide by taking a vote. It's absolutely the most idiotic way of taking decisions, just by doing a head count of saying how many people are for a decision. For the very simple reason that as we see in our societies, whether and especially in politics, which is influencing, what is politics but influencing, that voting is something which is it is highly manipulatable. It is highly, it's very ineffective in multiple ways. It's something that that does not take into account the knowledge base of the person who is deciding. It takes into account nothing. It's just a head count. And Shura is not voting. So please understand this right from the beginning. So what is Shura now? Let's look at that. Shura is, first of all, recognizing the fact that the people who are participating in that decision-making process are interested in that decision-making process. So this recognizes that. What does it mean, therefore, that if somebody calls you to participate in a decision-making process, a decision about something which you are not really interested in, what must you do? You must stay away. You must stay away. You must say, sorry, this has no value for me. I'm not interested in this decision, so I stay away. So Shura recognizes the fact that everyone who is involved in that decision-making process is interested in that decision-making process. Number two, Shura recognizes human dignity. It does not ignore somebody because this person may be poor or this person may be, of this or that race or level in the organization or whatever. So it recognizes human dignity and equality. Third benefit of Shura is that it involves the concerned people in the decision-making process. And I'm saying concerned people because if you're not concerned, you're not involved, doesn't matter. But if concerned people are not involved in a decision-making process, then they will not be committed to the outcome of that decision. And obviously, if you have people who are concerned, who are affected by a decision, and they are not involved in the making of that decision, and you do not have their commitment to implementing that decision, then this is the road to disaster. So you want to make sure that anyone who has any stake in a decision is involved in the process of evolution of that decision. So the Shura ensures that. So there are these three very important factors that the methodology of concentrated decision making or Shura takes into account. So how is it done? The way it is done is that the group which is going to take the decision, and the number of that group is not any, there's no magic number to that. Right? It's not to say that there should be 10 people or 7 people or whatever. It can be any number of people. Except only one criterion, and that is the people in the Shura are and should be people who are interested, genuinely interested in that decision. So you get them together and then you elect a leader for that meeting. Now this leader need not necessarily be the designated head of the organization or the head of, for example, in a corporate organization, it need not always be the chairman of the board. Even though the chairman of the board is the head of the board, it need not be the chairman of the board. In a team, it need not be the team leader. In a family, it need not be either of the parents, need not be the mother or the father. In any group, it need not be for example, in student groups, right? Because I work with various student MSAs and so on. In the student groups, it need not be the head of the president of the MSA or whoever. It need not be. Doesn't mean it should not be. It can very well be that person, but it need not be that person. Who should it be? it should be a person who is one of two things, or either or of two things. One, a person who is the chief beneficiary or the chief implementer who is going to be implementing that decision. Number two, it should be a person who has who is going to be the final yes or no. The person who is going to have the final yes or no in that decision. Now, how would you have that? For example, to give you some very simple things. For example, you might have in a corporate board setting, you might have the chairman of the board there, but it might be the decision being taken might be a decision in about production in of whatever product that company produces. So you might well have the Amir, we call it in Arabic, we call it Amir, otherwise it's the lead team leader for that particular meeting, the meeting leader. This leader could be the plant manager. So now the plant manager, in terms of his or her seniority or power in the organization, is obviously not at the same level as the chairman of the board. The plant manager may not even be a board member, but when you are taking that decision, it's a decision which is going to be implemented in the manufacturing plant. So therefore, the plant manager will be the Amir. We use different words. In Arabic, we say Amir, we say Faisal. In English, we say, team leader. Or you call it what you want, right? Mickey Mouse, Donald Trump, you call it anything. But the point is that that is the person who is the final say, and I'll come to what I mean by that. That is the leader of that Majlis Ashura, that consultative council or the consultative meeting that is happening. You pick the head. Now, then what happens? And the reason I said you do that is because you want that is a person whose commitment is absolutely critical. The example that I gave you, if the plant manager is not committed to implementing that decision, you can take the best decision in the world, it is not going to happen. Because that plant manager directly or indirectly, consciously or unconsciously, not implement that decision. I don't want to use the word sabotage it, but that's what will happen. The decision will not be implemented, because that key person is not committed to that. So it is essential for you. So instead of taking the decision, I mean, what's the alternative? Alternative is the board takes a decision and then they call the plant manager and say, well, here's your job, go do it. So either you are hammering it on his head, or somebody is deputed to say, go persuade the guy. So he's going to go and now you're going to talk. Now, instead of that, we know very well, I mean, I've done enough work in the corporate world, both at the implementation level as well as I started at the implementation level 16 years, and after that at the consulting level now totally about 40 years. So I know perfectly well how useless and ineffective that is. Far more effective is to have that person involved in the decision-making process itself, so that person is one of those who take that decision. Then the person's commitment is absolutely assured. And also his accountability is assured, because you can say, well, you are part of the decision-making process, so now you can't go back there and say, well, this didn't happen, that didn't happen. In the process, you had every opportunity to influence the process, you accepted the decision, you were part of it, and so now go implement it. Now, how does it work? It's very, very simple. It's such a beautifully simple process you are going to understand that in 5 minutes. We have the leader. Now, what does the leader do? The leader states the matter about which the decision has to be taken. So the leader will say, this is what we are talking about. This is the decision we need to take. So he states that. Having stated that, the leader then asks for the opinions of the people in the group. Now, here is the way Shura differs from voting. The leader is not saying how many for this, how many against it. No. This is a much more valuable, deeper question. And the question is, what do you think about this? What is your opinion about this? How do you think this should be solved? Right? The leader will take the opinions of the people. Now, does the leader ask everyone in the group? Yes and no. If the number of people in the group is small, the leader will usually ask everyone. If the number of people in the group is large, the leader may ask everyone or may not ask everyone. And both are equally valid. Both are okay. For the leader to ask everyone is okay, and for the leader not to ask everyone is okay. Now you might say, I just talked about consultative decision making and I'm saying that not asking people is okay. How is that? How does that work? I'll tell you. I'll come to that in a minute. So write down the method, which is the leader will ask for opinions. He will seek opinions. He might ask a general question to say, here is what we need to do. Please, what do you think? So this is now open to everybody in the group. People are welcome to express their opinion. This is what I think. This is what I think, and you might have an opinion in favor of it, or you might have an opinion against it. Most welcome. Please say what you like to do. Alternatively, the group, the leader might specifically ask individuals, so and so, what do you think? What do you think? This might be a round robin. He might go around the table, or he might simply ask people who he knows or who she knows. And the leader can be a woman for that matter. There's nothing to say the leader cannot be a woman. So the leader can ask individuals, specific key individuals. This is possible. Once that happens, then the decision is taken by the leader. And once again, as I said, no headcount business. He specifically takes the opinions, and the leader then considers those opinions. The leader has, of course, obviously their own opinion, and the decision is taken by the leader. That decision may, depending on the nature of it, depending on the nature of the decision, depending on how long it takes to arrive at the decision may be taken right there in the meeting and communicated, or the leader also has the option to say, well, I thank you very much for your opinions and for your inputs, and I will get back to you in a few hours or the next day or whatever with my decision. And then the leader will get back with his or her decision. Now, as a member of such a council, what is your job? Your job is very simple. Your job is, number one, if you are asked specifically, then you give an opinion. You don't say, well, you know, whatever you like to do. No. You say specifically what is your opinion. Number two, if you are not asked specifically, if the leader generally says, do you have an opinion? Then you have a choice whether to speak or not to speak. When must you speak? Absolutely without, I would say, what is the situation in which you have really no choice? You must speak. Even if the leader has not asked you specifically, it is your job to raise your hand, be recognized and speak. In which situation? A situation in which you have some special information. And just remember, just because you have the, just because it's your opinion, it doesn't make it special, right? Special information means something technical, something that relates especially to danger, something that relates to legal matters, and so on and so forth. If you have any special information, then it is your job to state that clearly and say, I have this special information, I have this special idea, I want to say. Now, in the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this has been one of the most common things that the Sahaba did. They used to ask him, they used to say, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he had expressed a certain opinion, he said, we should do this or that. They would ask him, they would say to him, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what you have said now, is this revelation? Is this what Allah ordered you? Or is this your opinion? And if it was revelation, he would say, this is revelation, they would remain silent. Because if Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala told us to do something, then we do it. I mean, there is no second opinion on it. But if he said, this is my opinion, then the Sahaba would say, if somebody had a different opinion, they would say, Ya Rasulullah, I have another opinion, and my opinion is this. And this is the reason for it. It's not simply a matter of like and dislike. This is the reason I'm saying it. Now, one of the most famous of these incidents, which I'm sure all of us know, is the incident in the Battle of Badr, where Rasulullah, when he had arranged his troops, one of the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, this arrangement of yours, is it your opinion or is it wahi? Is it revelation? Nabi Sallallahu said, this is my opinion. Then the Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, there is a cistern, there is a natural depression in the ground, there is a cistern which has water and will fill up with water if it rains. My suggestion is to arrange the troops in front of the cistern so that the cistern is in our control. If you have the troops as they had been arranged were behind the cistern, which means the cistern was in front, it could be taken over by the enemy's army and then we would be without water. Instead of that, if you arrange the troops in front of the cistern with the cistern behind us, then the cistern and the water is in our control. This is my opinion. Now, here was a man with a special strategic outlook, and he took the initiative of expressing his opinion, and the Prophet ﷺ accepted it and he moved the troops. So when the Amir, the Faisal, the leader asks for opinions, if you have anything special, any special information, any special knowledge relating to context, relating to legal issues, anything like that, anything of that nature, anything which is not likes and dislikes, but something which has relevance for the whole of the community involved, then you absolutely must speak. If you do not have that kind of information, should you insist on speaking? Of course not. Remain silent, because you're just taking up time and space. Don't do that. Just be silent. What must you do in the meanwhile is to make zikr, is to have rujoo ila Allah, to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide all concerned, the leader and the participants in the meeting, to take the best decisions. So this is what must be done if you are not the leader and you are a decision maker. Now, if you are asked for an opinion, what must you do? Number one, you must give an opinion. But how must you give the opinion? You must give an opinion which you genuinely believe to be in the best interest of all concerned, whether or not you yourself find that opinion to be convenient for yourself. Right? Irrespective, you may find that opinion, if you are asked, you might say, well, you know, really, this particular thing. Take, for example, one of the classic things that happens in terms of determining the time for Jama'a Salah in the masjid. And people say, well, you know, let us have this time, Salah time at such and such a time because it's convenient for us, convenient for me. On the other hand, you might say, well, you know, I think it's better to have the Salah at this time because there is greater virtue and value in praying at the early time rather than delaying the Salah time. So this is not a matter of personal convenience, because it's actually inconvenient to pray early, but we will take the inconvenience. Instead, we want the greater reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm just giving a random example, you know, it can be anything. So when you are giving your opinion, number one, see and ensure that the opinion is what you consider to be best for everyone. Don't give an opinion which suits you personally. That would be against the integrity of the against your integrity. Number one. Number two, when you give the opinion, make istighfar. Seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, because you don't know whether that opinion was the best opinion. Because it is possible that you might give an opinion which turns out to be wrong and turns out to be displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, we have the situation of Badr, where there were 70 prisoners, and Rasulullah ﷺ asked the opinion of the Sahaba about what should be done with the prisoners. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, And one other Sahabi, I think it was Sa'd bin Mu'adh, wallahu alam, they recommended that the prisoners who were the leadership of the Quraysh should be executed. And they said, let's get rid of them. These are the people who attacked us, and let us execute them. We would have, deprived the Quraysh of their leadership. Other people, which included Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, they said, let us not execute the prisoners, let us hold them and exchange them for ransom. So let us ransom them, because we have come from Makkah. The Muhajirin, the people who have come, they have no money, they lost everything. So with the ransoms, they will get some of their wealth back, because they are in need. And he said, after all, these people, end of the day, they are our people, they are our, some of them are literally family members, and so on. So let us ransom them instead of executing them. Now, Rasulullah himself was such a kind-hearted person that executing anybody was not something that he, was not an opinion he took, too easily to. So he chose the opinion of not executing them and ransoming them. Next morning, when Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu came to meet Rasulullah, he found the Prophet and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu weeping. So he was very perturbed, he was very upset and disturbed, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, why are you crying? And he asked Abu Bakr Siddiq, why are you crying? Radiallahu anhu. He said, please tell me, why are you crying? If it is something that, let me cry with you, because this is what affects you, affects me. Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked your opinion, and he did not like the other opinion which I took, which was also his opinion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran about this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat. He said, it's not for the Nabi to choose ransom and so on, and the Nabi should have executed the prisoners to make it very clear the difference between haqq and batil, between the truth and falsehood, and so on. So that's the ayat which was revealed. And lightning struck a tree which was near where Rasulullah was sitting, and they could see the tree which had been split by lightning and scorched. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, because you consulted and took the decision, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not come on you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed his displeasure by diverting his punishment onto that tree. Now, this shows so clearly that when we give a decision, it should be something which is not just pleasing to your heart, but something which is beneficial for the whole community. And also it shows that when a decision is taken by a process of shura, then there is khair in this and there is barakah in this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects that decision. This is when we give the opinion. So we make istighfar and we say, I'm giving a decision, Ya Rab, but I don't know whether this is good or not. Because if you see the reason Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu gave it, he also gave a decision which was for the benefit of the people. And he also gave a decision which he thought was the best thing. But obviously he did not know whether it is really the best thing or not. So you have Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu giving a decision and Sayyidina Abu Bakr giving a decision or giving their opinions, two of them. And neither of them knows which is good. Both of them gave the opinions which were for the benefit of everyone, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is best. In this case, it turned out that one was better than the other, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displayed his own agreement and his own view on the matter. But because the decision had been taken by the consultative decision-making process of Shura, there was no evil had come or came on any of the people involved. Now, so I give a decision, I give my opinion, and I make istighfar. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from any evil that my opinion may contain. Remember, this is so good also for our own ego. Otherwise, you and I, we are very prone to thinking that, you know, my word is the word of God, right? We think that we are God's gift to mankind, which we are not. Maybe other than my mother, nobody will agree with that, if that is what I thought about myself. So, in my case, even my mother wouldn't have agreed. That was the kind of mother I had. May Allah fill her qabr with noor and bless her and give her Jannat al-Firdaus without hisab. So, the point I'm making here is that when we give a decision, we make very sure that we make istighfar, which is good for our ego, keeps us humble. Now, what if I was not asked? What is the usual thing if you are in a meeting and the leader does not ask you? What is the usual reaction of a person? Resentment, right? You feel this leader is dictatorial, this leader never asks me, and blah, blah, blah. In the Majlis Ashura, what do you do if you are not asked? You thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ya Rab, you saved me from giving an opinion which was probably going to be useless, which was probably going to be harmful, because you knew this. And therefore, you did not want me to give that opinion. Therefore, you did not put it in the heart of the leader to ask me. So, three situations. One, the leader does not ask me, but I have critical information. What must I do? I must choose to speak. I must volunteer. I must speak. Number two, I do not have critical information. I am just one of the members. The leader does not choose me, does not ask me. What should I do? Keep silent. Remain silent. And thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Alhamdulillah, Allah did not allow me to say something which potentially could have been harmful. Number three, the leader asks me, what must I do? I must speak and give an opinion for the benefit of everyone. Now, fourth point. After I have given my opinion, the leader chooses something which is different from my opinion. He chooses the opinion of somebody else, not my opinion. What must I do? Must I insist? Must I keep on repeating my opinion? Must I keep on saying, I am this and this and this, and therefore I am more qualified than somebody else? No, never. Never, never, never. If the leader does not choose my opinion, I must remain silent. I must again thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, you knew that my opinion was not the best, and therefore you allowed the leader to choose something else. Alhamdulillah. I do not resent the leader. I do not resent the person whose opinion was accepted. I remain silent. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the opinion of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He did not choose the opinion of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Do you think Umar ibn al-Khattab thumbed his nose at Abu Bakr Siddiq and said, see, I am wiser than you, even Allah thinks so? Did he do that? Did he say, oh, this is fantastic, very good, Abu Bakr put in his place, this is what I was saying all the time, nobody listens to me? Did he say all this? Did he think all this? These are the people, these are our leaders. What is the good of listening to their stories if you are not going to follow them? So if somebody does not take your, if the leader does not take your opinion, say, Alhamdulillah. Even if later it comes out that your opinion was the best one, do you say, I told you so? See, I told you so. Did Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu say, Ya Rasulullah, I told you yesterday? Did he say that? No. He also wept with them. So if my opinion is taken, I make istighfar. If my opinion is not taken, I say, Alhamdulillah, if I have information which is critical to the decision, then I volunteer and I give that decision, that information. Final point, the leader takes a decision, and that decision, whatever that decision might be, what do we do as members of the Shura? We support the leader, irrespective of whether the leader's decision was what I wanted or not. I support the leader because that is the adab of the shura. Final closing point. No shura before shura, no shura after shura. Lobbying, drumming up support in the corridors, getting lobbying groups together and saying, getting your cronies together and saying, tomorrow in the Shura, we are all going to push for this. You know those people or that individual? We have to beat them. All of these are very common and accepted practices in politics, and that is why we have the filthy situation we have in our societies. No Shura before Shura and no Shura after Shura. Before Shura, to the extent you can talk to each other about a decision and saying this is what we should do, but drumming up support to say we are going to push for this and we are going to, within quotes, defeat that group, this is haram. This is prohibited. And no Shura after Shura. This is so common, especially in Muslim organizations, especially among Muslims, especially in voluntary organizations. People will go, they will sit in the meeting, they will participate in that meeting, they will say nothing, and outside, when the meeting is over, then they will say, you know what, that leader, he's a dictator. He does this, he does that. He always does his own thing. And I was never for that decision. So you say, excuse me, my friend, my brother, my sister, you were never for that decision, then how come you didn't say anything in the meeting? No, what's the good of saying anything? Nobody listens. This is haram. This is ghibah. This is backstabbing, not just backbiting. So no Shura after Shura. Final, quick, thumbnail, sketch, recap. The Shura is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered in the Quran. The Shura is something which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did throughout his life. So the Shura is both Kitab and Sunnah. Alhamdulillah, do make decisions using the Shura. As I mentioned to you, can be done everywhere in any situation in the world. I have myself introduced that into many, many corporate organizations at board levels and at different levels. And it works 100% beautifully, fantastically. How is it done? There is an Amir, there is a Faisal, call it what name you want. The leader, which is elected, which is who is designated, not elected, designated for that meeting. This may be the head of the organization or the head of that team, or it may be somebody who has a particular interest in the decision that is going to be taken in that meeting. Need not always be the head. What does the leader do? The leader puts the item of the agenda before everybody. And then the leader asks for inputs, asks for opinions. The leader may just ask a general question and saying, please let me have your input, which means that everyone in the room is included. If you have an opinion, give it. Don't just talk because you got mouth. Like the Guyanese say, don't just talk because you have a mouth. Talk only if you have a specific thing to say which you think is important. If you have something which is of a technical nature, which is important, then definitely speak. Number two option, the leader can ask specific people for their opinions. If your opinion is asked, then you give your opinion. Don't say whatever you like. Give your opinion. And give your opinion keeping in mind benefit of everyone, not your personal like and dislike or your personal convenience. Once you give your opinion, that's it. Don't keep insisting on it. Don't keep fighting for it. Don't keep trying to push it. Say it once. More than enough. After that, make istighfar. Make tawbah. Ask Allah to forgive you because you do not know whether what you said was good or not. Number two, you are asked for an opinion. You are not asked for an opinion. So you ask. Now, when you second option, you are not asked for an opinion. Now, what must you do? Should you resent it and feel bad? No. You thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put it in the heart of the leader to ask me for an opinion because maybe what I had to say would not have been beneficial. What does the leader do? At the end of the meeting, either on the same day, same time, or maybe depending on the situation, maybe later, the leader communicates his or her decision about the matter. Then what must we do? everyone must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everyone must support the leader wholeheartedly, irrespective of whether their opinion was taken or not taken. Finally, what three things which are completely taboo, completely haram, totally not to be done. What is that? Shura before shura, shura after shura, and voting. Just taking a head count. No, this is not from shura. Drumming up support, creating lobby groups to push a decision in the meeting, before the meeting, haram, not to be done. After the meeting is over, bad-talking people, bad-talking the decision, and saying, oh, but you see, this was wrong, that was wrong. Again, haram, not to be done. My brothers and sisters, please understand this very clearly. If you follow this system with integrity, believe me, you will bring hearts closer. People will love each other. People will work together with each other. People will respect each other. And you will take the best possible decisions, because inshallah, the help of Allah will be with you. If you violate this process, and if you turn it into a voting contest, if you turn it into a shouting contest, if you turn it into an ego contest of trying to push through your opinion down somebody's throat, whether they like it or not, you are going to destroy communities. You are going to destroy organizations. And you will destroy yourself in the process. Please don't do this. Follow the method of shura, because this is the method that is given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the method that was practiced and shown and demonstrated by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wa salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.